Well, how about we start with a word of prayer? Father, we thank you that we can be here today. Pray that you'll take away the distractions of things that we have done or may be doing this afternoon. Pray that we would stop and allow your word and the spirit that takes your word to minister to our hearts this day. Pray that you'll reveal yourself, illuminate our minds, and Lord, allow us to behold things that the natural man receiveth not. But Lord, through the illumination of the Holy Spirit, we see things that, Lord, we would never see without him and his help. And so we pray for your work to be done in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in our series looking at the body, particularly the body of the Lord, I guess, we've seen the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have looked at the hands of our Heavenly Father. We have seen the eyes of the Lord. And today we're going to be looking at the ears of our Heavenly Father. So we're going to consider ears today. Ears are a very interesting thing. When you look at them, they're rather funny. When you start to study them, they are a rather strange thing. You think, why do we have ears, or why do they stick out like they do? They're just stuck on the side of your head. But when you see Martians on TV and they don't have ears, you realise how funny they look. And so I guess they do help our looks. But I guess depending on their shape, size, some can look funnier than others. I know when I was younger, I used to have ears that stuck straight out. And so they would just go straight out like that. And so when anyone looked at me, that's about all they could see were my ears. And so they seemed to be the butt of most jokes or words to describe me. And so I had names like Radar and Dumbo and Mickey Mouse. Got so bad at school that if anyone called me Mickey Mouse ears, the principal would have Mickey Mouse ears and make that child wear them for the day, and so just to stop them teasing me. So I had wing nut and elephant ears, just to mention a few. So I had a lot. So I don't promote plastic surgery, but I'm very thankful for the little bit of plastic surgery I had when I was about 11 and removed the cartilage and allowed it to go back a little bit. And so you would have just been seeing ears today otherwise. But depending on their shape and the size, they can look a little bit funny. But it's not so much the ear that we're thankful for, but the hearing that it allows. When we talk about the ear, we often normally only think of this flappy bit, but the reality is there's an outer ear, a middle ear, and an inner ear as well. And we have to have all three parts to the ear, and we have to have them all functioning for us to be able to hear. And through the ear, God has designed our bodies to hear sounds of all different types. We get to hear music. What a blessing that is. Get to hear just all different noises, to popping, to crackling, to various types of sounds. But the greatest sound of all is to be able to hear the words of others, to be able to communicate and have those words said to us. We get to hear good news from the words of others, sad news, funny things, strange things. Sometimes you have to listen to boring things, and you get to hear some exciting things as well. And there is no doubt that when someone loses their hearing, they lose a lot of things. And if you can hear or remotely hear, you have something to give thanks to the Lord for. And hearing is the idea of the Lord. He wanted us to be able to experience something that he experiences. It says in Psalm 94:9, "He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear?" And so he's the one that hears, and he wanted us to be able to enjoy this as well. And the Lord hears us. Now, just like when it comes to the Lord seeing, he sees a lot more than what we see. And also when it comes to hearing, he hears a lot more than what we hear. But one thing we can be sure of is he hears us, his children. Earthly fathers can't hear everything, and that's probably a good thing. You wouldn't want your earthly father to hear everything you say. But there are times when people want their earthly father to hear them, but they don't for one reason or another. And I'm sure there have been many that have called out for help or cried for help to their father, but their father just hasn't heard them. Either their father's been too far away and couldn't hear, or there's too much background noise so they couldn't hear, or there have been other people distracting them so they didn't hear, or maybe they just weren't listening. You know, some fathers, they tune out, don't they? They can hear some sort of noise in the background, but they just don't realise it's their child asking them for something. And I'm sure you've been in the car and one of the children in the back say, "Dad," and Dad doesn't respond. And so they say, "Dad," again, and Dad's tuned out. He's listening or thinking about something else. And so the child continues, "Dad, Dad, Dad, Dad," until the wife goes, "Will you please answer them?" You know, what? All right, they're just not listening. Fathers tune out. And or they don't hear for one reason or another. But the blessing is, our Father, our Heavenly Father, hears everything. And He doesn't miss anything. And we can be sure that He hears us. And that should bring us a lot of comfort. Have you ever been in your room by yourself praying and then thinking to yourself, "I wonder if God actually is hearing me? Or am I just in my room praying to myself?" Do you ever wonder, am I actually being heard? Or am I these words not even going past the walls? I think every Christian has thought that at times when they're by themselves in a room and they're praying and thinking, "Oh, I wonder if God actually hears." Particularly when you pray for something and there's no answer to prayer. Maybe you prayed for something for days, weeks, months, maybe even years. You have prayed for something and nothing seems to be happening and you start to wonder, "Is God hearing me?" Well, we mustn't think that just because God hasn't answered us in the way that we would like it, that we're wasting our time. You know, when we study the Word of God, we see that He does hear. You know, the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. They relentlessly cried out to God and called out to Him for help. But for 400 years, He hadn't answered their prayers. Now, was He listening? Did He hear them? Or was He tuned out? Now, He heard them. It says in Exodus 3:7, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry." He heard their cry. And in His perfect timing, He saved them from that. And so we shouldn't think that just because things don't happen in the process of time that we think they should happen, that God hasn't heard us. And today what I would like to do is look at some of the references that we have in regards to the Lord hearing us and to see how that should encourage our hearts today. And so we're going to consider how the Lord hears everything. First thing I want us to notice, and this is the most basic, but it is probably the most blessed one of all, and that is our Father hears when we pray and make requests to Him. Now, you think, well, duh, that's pretty basic, but that's something that shouldn't be overlooked. The reality that we have a Heavenly Father who is all-powerful, all-wise, all-loving, and He actually hears our requests is a blessing that we shouldn't pass by. We're not stuck here on this earth to fend for ourselves without any help. We have a Heavenly Father that we can go to in order to make our requests for. That's a blessing. He hears us. King David took advantage of that. It says in Psalm 4:1, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." Who did King David go to when he had troubles? He went to his Heavenly Father. The prophet Daniel enjoyed this as well. You know, let me read from Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. You don't need to turn there. It says, this is the angel speaking to Daniel. It says, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." And so Here we have the account of an angel speaking to Daniel. And the angel explains to Daniel from the very first day where he made his petition to God, his words were heard, and God put into action things in order to answer his prayer. So Daniel may have been in a foreign country a long way from Jerusalem, which was the center of worship for God Jehovah. He may have been in his room by himself. No one else was there. But when he prayed that prayer to God, God heard him and started to answer. Now, the reason why the angel said that was because it took about 3 weeks for him to come and answer his prayer. And there were a lot of reasons for that. But what God does, if you read that story, he opens up the curtain, so to speak, and allows us to see the spiritual realm and what took place at that time, to show us that when we offer up our prayers to our Heavenly Father, he hears us. And even though it may seem to be taking some time, God is doing what is best for us. And we need to trust him. And by faith, we can be sure that when we're in our room by ourselves praying, just like Daniel was, he hears us. You know, when you look at the account of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who had been praying for a child, she was barren. There was no doctors with the abilities that they have today. And who knows how long they had been praying for a child. And they had prayed for this, and they could have wondered if God had heard their prayer. Did God care? Was God listening? Could God do anything? Would God do anything? But the angel said to Zechariah, it says, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son." He prayed, and it was heard. And the Lord gave him what he asked for. And the blessing for us is we're told that we can enjoy the same blessing of having a Heavenly Father hearing us, just like these men of and women of old did as well. That's there for us. If you turn over to 1 John chapter 5, this is the promise that we have. Clearly stated here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. It says in verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him." This is something we can be sure of, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So he hears us, and then what happens? Verse 15, "And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him." If he hears us, then we will have those things. Now, we shouldn't be put off by where it says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, because that's the proviso. As long as we ask anything according to his will. And some people are put off by that. They say, well, that's a bit unfair. That means I have to pray for what God believes is best for me, for him to actually answer my prayer. As though that's a bad thing. But that's a good thing, not a bad thing at all. You know, that means if God doesn't think it's best for us, well, then he's not going to give us those things. And that's something as a nice safeguard that we have. I can look back now and think of so many things that I have asked the Lord for that he didn't give me, and I am so thankful now. You know, there are, as a young man, pray for this person I might be able to marry, but I'm so thankful I didn't get to marry them. I got to marry Linda instead. He knew which was best, what was best for me. Or I pray for this and it doesn't come about, and then you look back and think, I'm so glad he didn't answer that prayer also. There's countless amount of prayers that I've prayed for and God knew best, and so he didn't answer those prayers. And that's a blessing. That's a safeguard. But we have this confidence that if we ask for something according to his will, if he knows it is good for us, if he knows that it fits into his perfect plan for us, well, then he will hear us and he will give us those things. Now, it says in Psalm 84, verse 11, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so if you've been asking for something and you haven't received it, well, then there's only really one of two reasons for that. One, you're not walking uprightly. If I have any sin in my life, not hear me. Or it's not good for you. Or maybe it's not good for you at this time. And so out of love for you, he hasn't given it to you yet. And so we have that promise. And so let's make sure that we don't accuse God falsely of not hearing us when we pray. He does hear. Even though you're in your room by yourself, no one else can hear. The King of Heaven hears. Our very best friend. And that's a blessing. But it doesn't end there. It's good to know that the Lord doesn't just hear our requests. And then after that, he just tunes out. We're on our own. No, he listens to us and he listens out for us. His ear is open to us. You know, I'm reminded of the mum with a newborn baby. It's true that mums that with a newborn baby, they don't have any real meaningful conversations with the baby, obviously, but she listens out for that baby to see what that baby needs. Her ears are open to that child, aren't they? She listens out for when the baby is crying and going and then goes and attends the needs of that baby. She listens out for those little noises that the baby makes when it starts to wake up, so she knows she has to go and attend to it. She listens out for any choking that may be there so she could go and rescue her. She loves the sounds of the giggles and the chuckles. In fact, she listens out for any noise. Why? Her ears are open to the sounds of that newborn. And the love and concern that particularly a mother has for a newborn baby is just a reflection, a simple reminder of the love and concern that our Heavenly Father has for us. She's just imitating. She's in the image of God when she has that care and concern. And we see that our Heavenly Father's ears are open to us, his children. And we learn from the Word of God that he also hears us when we are sad and we are weeping. You turn over to Psalm chapter 6, would you please? This is a psalm of David. David wept a lot for a man that was very tough. He certainly wept a lot too. But it says in Psalm chapter 6, verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. This guy is sad. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. O Lord, the Lord will receive my prayer. Here we see that David was weeping, he was sad, making supplications to the Lord. You know, we cry for a lot of reasons, don't we? Hurtful things are said to us or done to us, the loss of someone precious to us, physical pain or some type of disappointment. The list is nearly endless of what can make us cry. And the Lord doesn't tune out to our sorrow. He hears our weeping. What parent would walk past the room of their child and hear them crying and then just walk on by and show no concern? I don't know one parent that would do that. Every parent would go in and see why they are crying and try and comfort them at that time. That's the natural inbuilt concern that a parent should have for their child. And the sorrow and weeping that we have isn't missed by the Lord either. It says in Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Those of his children who have a broken heart over something, where is he? It says that he is nigh. That means close. He is close. He is there comforting that person, that child with a broken heart. It says in Psalm 147, verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. What does he do? He goes and he wants to heal them, those of his children with a broken heart. Will you please turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. This is what we're told about our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Very familiar verse, but one that we can easily miss when we are sad. It says in verse 15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What this verse is basically saying is we do have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, those things that trouble us. He can be touched by them. The word touch simply means he can sympathize, he can have compassion upon us. When he sees us sad, when he sees us weeping, he is touched by that. The Lord doesn't look at us and see us weeping for something and then callously just walk on by. It affects him. Is it good to know that your Heavenly Father is affected by your sorrow? He doesn't see us weep and show no concern for us. No parent enjoys seeing their child cry. It should break our heart when we see them cry. And our Father and our Savior take no pleasure in seeing us cry either, and it takes no pleasure in seeing us sad. They are touched by our infirmities. And it's true, sometimes we are sad and we're crying and we don't even quite know what to say to the Lord. Isn't that true? "Lord, I don't even know the answer. I don't even know what I'm asking for. I just know that I'm really sad at the moment." And we can be comforted with the knowledge that when he sees us weeping, it affects him. And not only that, he has thought ahead of us, because he has made provision for us at that time. It says in Romans 8:26, "Likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities." The Holy Spirit helps us at this time. He helps us by comforting us, but he helps us in another way as well. And this is wonderful. "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And so, when we are sad, when we're weeping, we're overcome by something, we have the Holy Spirit comforting us, but also he is the one that is praying for us. We may not know what to pray for, but the Spirit of God does. And he makes intercession for us. And sometimes our prayer may only consist of four words: "Lord, please help me." But then the Holy Spirit finishes it off. And he says, "Father, such and such, they really need da 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 da." And he prays for us. And our Father does hear us when we're sad. And we're told to come boldly before his throne to find mercy, something we don't deserve. We don't deserve any kindness from him at this time. But we don't deserve his goodness or his support. But we can go and find mercy and grace. That is his divine enabling to pick us up and help us to carry on. Such is his love for us. And so he hears us when we're sad and we're weeping. But he also hears us when we don't even feel worthy of his love. I love this. Turn over to, please, Psalm 86. When I was in my 20s, I used to read this psalm as a prayer quite often. When I decided to start fighting the flesh and standing up for the Lord, I needed this chapter just about every day. I used to get so grieved by how easily I gave up or gave in to temptations and how often I gave in to temptations. And I certainly knew that I didn't deserve God to be my Father. I didn't deserve him to be my friend. And I felt so unworthy of the privilege. And I really thought that God was going to somehow tell me, "Look, I think it's time we just part ways, Alan. I've had enough of you. You know, I think it's time we just go separate ways." I just couldn't believe how pathetic of a child I was. But I used to go and I used to pray this prayer, this psalm to him. It says there in Psalm 86 verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. I just ask, Lord, I pray that you would just bend down and listen to what I have to say. I know I'm pathetic. Verse 3. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. I knew that what I needed was mercy. I did not deserve anything. And if I got anything, it was mercy. Verse 4. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I used to pray, Lord, I'm miserable. I know I'm miserable. Oh, I ask that you'd help me. Verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. And I clung to that verse, that if I did call upon him, he would be merciful and ready to forgive. And I used to pray, and I still do, probably quite not as much. Lord, I'm so glad you're plenteous in mercy, because you need plenty of mercy to have me as your child. And then verse 6, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication. You know, we don't deserve forgiveness. We never have. And that's the thing. Sometimes we may think, oh, I don't deserve forgiveness now. But the reality is we never deserved it in the past either. And that's what made what Christ did for us so special. He is the one that bore the wrath and the shame for us. And has made it possible. And I have reminded myself plenty of times that those times when I truly feel totally unworthy of any forgiveness or any love, any mercy, they are the times when the Lord so liberally gives that mercy and forgiveness and love, because He knows, I know, it's none of me and all of Him. That's what true mercy is. And that's what true forgiveness is. As I read, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. If you ever upset someone, you know what you did was wrong, you know that how you hurt them was wrong, and you hate how they're sad because of your actions. And you go to them and you try and make things right with them. You want to confess that what you've done is wrong, you want to try and restore, and so that person doesn't have to be hurting the way that they did. But they won't take your phone calls. They won't answer the door when you knock. When you do get to sit there face to face, they don't really want to look at you into your eyes, or they don't even want to listen to you. And you want to make things right, but they're not interested. They just don't want to have anything to do with you. If that's ever happened to you, you'll know that's a very sad state to be in, where you know you've hurt that person, but you just can't make it right. Now, that may happen towards others. The blessing is it never happens to our Heavenly Father. When we go to Him, we can be sure that He won't slam the door of heaven shut on us. So now I've had enough. There's no wrath towards us because Christ bore all the wrath upon Himself. Our Heavenly Father has no wrath towards us. Only love. And He is plenteous in mercy. And ready to forgive. And when we sin against Him and we hurt Him, we can be sure that He hasn't closed the door and He won't refuse to listen. And when we go to Him with a broken and a contrite heart, willing to admit our sin and confess it, He will forgive. That's a blessing, brethren. That's a blessing we have a Father like that, that will continue to listen to us. You know, we also will listen when we need help. You know, let me read a verse here from David. It says, hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. That's Psalm 69, verse 17. Sometimes we can't pray and we wait on the Lord for an answer. We need to just shoot up a prayer straight away. As David said, hear me speedily. I have some friends in Indonesia. He's a pastor of a church there. A couple of years ago, he was saying that at night there was a mob of Muslims coming up. They were going to kill them and burn their house. And there was a big mob, and he knew there was no escape, nowhere to go. And so he and his wife and his son, they knelt beside their lounge and they just prayed, God, please help us. That's all they could do. And he said, as the mob came up to their house, lo and behold, two police cars arrived. And they confronted the mob and told them to go away. And he said there were three miracles take place that night. One, that the police arrived and they hadn't even been asked. Secondly, that the police stood up for them because they're Muslims and generally they turn a blind eye to that sort of thing. And thirdly, the mob actually listened to them. Normally the mob wouldn't even listen to the police. And the Lord heard their prayer. Now there have been plenty of other times when people have prayed that and they have lost their life. But we can be assured that when we pray, God is in control. How many times have you been witnessing to someone and you just shoot up a prayer, Lord, please give me wisdom to know what to say here, give me boldness, or whatever it may be. But He is there in those times of help. And so we have a lot of things to be thankful for. There's plenty of other things we could look at as well that I won't. You know, the reality is we have a Father that hears everything. And that should keep us on our toes. He hears our complaining. And so every time you complain, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. He hears our complaining. He hears our vows or promises that we make to Him. He says, if you make a promise to Him, He will keep your word, keep you to your word. He hears our promises. And He hears many other things. And so, praise the Lord, we have a God that has ears in whatever way that is. But above all, praise the Lord, we have a God that hears us. And we give thanks for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. That Lord, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can come before Your throne with boldness. And find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, we are a needy people. We need You more than we think we do. And we thank You that we have a loving Father we can go to. And I pray that, Lord, we would take hold of this privilege, see it for what it is, and, Lord, allow things that You hear from our mouth bring glory to Your name and be well pleasing in Thy sight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.